And he cometh unto the disciple, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night watch and pray night. And we pray for 1 hour, but we usually have Pastor Fred here. So let me check to see if Pastor Fred is here. He is here. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. How are you?
Good. Good. Hang on here. Let me get this out of the way. It's in front of everybody. There we go. And so how have you been?
Well, I got a bit of a throat today. Bit of a cold.
I think the last
other than
time,
that, everything's fine. Everything works fine.
I think the last time I spoke with you, I could hear that. Remember, I mentioned it.
You were prophesying it. Yes.
Oh, oh, I was cursing you. Don't. No.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
No,
No. I've been fighting this throat like everybody else up here.
Oh.
It's all over the place.
Well, I very, very seldom ever get a sore throat and a fever. And that's what I had a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I think it was the first time in, it could be 50 years that I've had a fever.
Yeah, it's the same here. Normally, I just can take some apple cider vinegar and honey and that's it. But this one here is battling. You got to battle it with everything you know. Praise God, we're doing fine.
Well, I was pouring ivermectin on it, and I don't know how much vitamin C, lots of vitamin C, and there was some other things I had too. I want to let everybody know, Pastor Fred here, I spoke to, Dave Howard's wife, and then Dave sent, and then Dave later. So Dave had the hip operation. He was doing really good. They had him up and walking, and he's hoping to go home tomorrow, and then it'll be the recovery time. So Dave was very happy about the results of the operation.
Well, that's good. That's wonderful.
Nothing else. I did speak in practice in Sunday in Kuru Kayaba there in Kenya. It didn't go good. There's something wrong with the sound on his end. There's something wrong. And I actually had to stop it because I was getting this awful feedback. I mean, awful. So I told him I couldn't continue anymore with that feedback. So we got to get a handle on it. But
well,
everything's going
probably
good.
With, probably with having to get different equipment, you know, there's going to be an adjustment time. Because apparently, you know, he had to get new equipment.
Yes. Yes. It's almost like loudspeakers in the, it was like very, very loud speakers. So I would speak and there would be slight delay and then exactly what I said would come roaring back. So I told him that I couldn't, it was awful. But we're going to get everything straightened out there in Kenya. Pastor Jamil was very excited. I spoke to him today, and we've got big events planned for April and May. The Hindus are, well, the former Hindus are begging us to come back to Hyderabad. We haven't been there in a couple of years, and I think we can have a tremendous event there in Hyderabad with the Hindus. Let's see. There's another one where... up in Islamabad, in that area, is a bishop with 130 churches that wants to have a big event in May. So things are lining up, Pastor Fred.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Well, we keep praying. Keep praying and praying that you might get more brochures out by that time, too.
Never-ending recall. Oh, I spoke with, I haven't spoke to Bishop Reinhardt in a while in India. And he after the show last night, he called me. And they had, he had 13 of his church workers, including pastors and that, died in March this month. And he went to 11 funerals. And he said... I think 7 or 8 were killed by the Hindus.
Oh no!
They're very serious now. What's going on in India?
Well, that said, we've got to stop praying again for their safety.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. So you're up to date on everything here. Did you sign up for Rumble?
Yes, I did, but I have to sign up for the one which costs money. Is that right? Because it whatever it was, the sign up that I did was not sufficient, so I have to go in and. But did you send me that stuff or not?
I
from Jamil?
No, I don't have it from Jamil yet, but I did get the video. Uh-oh. Of me teaching in that church, defending the faith there against the Jews and the anti-missionaries, the rabbis.
Uh-huh.
So I can send that to you, but what do you call it? They stream it on Rumble.
Uh-huh.
So I'll send it to you, but it's coming from Rumble.
Good.
And I have been getting some nice feedback on my in fact, I just got a email from a woman today, and she said that could I send her the teaching on Psalm 110 because she has a lot of Jewish friends and she wants to share this with the Jewish friends. So
wonderful.
I sent her the video, and then I also sent her the PowerPoint presentation.
Terrific. Well, that's great.
It's so simple. Psalm 110 is so simple, Fred, to just turn them upside down.
Make the Lord the living Lord. And, the Lord Jesus and the Son and the Father.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so you have a teaching for us?
Yeah, it's just a short one and a little different again. Last week, I think, did I speak about the temptation of Christ? And was that what I spoke about? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think now. I don't remember.
I think I was trying to find out what he did during those 40 days in the desert. the temptation that he
Yes,
received.
that is
Anyhow,
familiar. Hang
soon
on.
after.
Hold on, Pastor Fred. Sister Kathy remembers everything.
Oh.
Sister Kathy,
Yeah.
what did Pastor Fred speak on last week?
It was in the desert, in the wilderness, but I can't say that it was how he said it just then.
Right. Okay. All right.
So
Pastor.
It bears repeating.
All right, Pastor Fred. There you go.
All right. No, I was just saying from then on, if you read in Luke, it was Luke 4 that you get that. The temptation in the desert, and then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes in, he comes out, and he goes around to preaching in the synagogues. He comes out of there with filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he goes to his own church, because he really basically started in Galilee and the towns around there when he sent his disciples out. And now he's about to give to his disciples a lesson. A lesson which is entirely different. He'd sent them out to, in some of the other, if you read it in the Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, he sent them out to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to cast out the demons. But now he's going to take them and bring them to Nazareth, to his own church, basically, to his own synagogue. And because he taught in synagogues around Galilee, and then he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up for to read. Now, he's come to teach his disciples something different, something that they should understand. And I'm going to read from the Matthew portion of this, and then I'm going to go to the Mark portion, and then I'm going to go to the Luke portion. And they basically bring out something, say the same, and bring out something. Let's go to prayer. Father, allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us and to learn exactly what we face as your son faced him while he was here on earth, and as he taught his disciples to face. Teach us your way, Lord, and lead us in your path, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Basically, I started the service. I had two services on Sunday, but the second service, I was asking people to accept the fact that Luke 4:18 is our verse just as much as it was for Jesus and his disciples. And for us to be able to say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me is a very profound thing, and something that we would never generally teach people, but I do believe that we should. And I believe that they should be able to confess that. But before we go there, let's go to Matthew 13, 30, Matthew 13, 30, something, 30, 34, 53 to 58. But can you hear me all right with my voice the way it
is? Yeah, that's okay, Pastor Fred. Yeah, you're doing fine.
All right. 53 to 58. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he'd been given a whole bunch of parables, eight of them actually, and he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, that's up in Galilee, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Let's go to the passage in Mark, Mark 6, Mark 6, 1 to 6. And he went from thence, and he came unto his own country, and his disciples follow him. That's important, I think. His disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in a synagogue. And many hearing from him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed him. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. Now, before we leave this, I want you to look at, listen to one part of this, Mark 6, 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Well, if you know the culture and the customs of those days, nobody ever quoted the mother as being the son of somebody. It was always the father. Now, maybe his father was passed away, but I don't think so. It was still an insult. It was an insult to not to call him the father. And you know the question that the Pharisees and Sadducees and the elders and the high priests all had about his background, the background of Jesus. But here you can sense, if you know anything about the culture, that they're basically insulting him. And he marveled because of their unbelief, that he was amazed. There's only two places in Scripture where Jesus was amazed. One was at this point here, when he was in the synagogue, and we'll read about it in Luke 14 more. But the other time was when Cornelius came to him. No, when the man that was to be healed, I think it was. Which one was it, John, where he was amazed at the so great faith?
That was the Roman centurion that came to Jesus to heal his servant.
Right. That was the only two times that it's recorded in Scripture that Jesus is amazed. Once he was amazed because of their unbelief. And with the Cornelius, the Roman centurion, he was amazed because of his belief. So Jesus was amazed. But before we leave Mark, I want you to go back to Mark 3, I think it is, 21. Mark 3, 21. And when his friends, and you'll find a side number on there and say it's kinfolk, his relatives, when his relatives heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, talking about Jesus and his relatives. For they said, he is beside himself. And so you have these people saying he's nuts, and these people in his own synagogue. And we're going to Luke 4 now, Luke chapter 4. But first, before we go there, he's going to teach his disciples the idea of rejection, the idea of the atmosphere of going out to preach the gospel is an atmosphere of unbelief. In other words, he's telling them, when I go out, when we go out to these synagogues and out to preach, the atmosphere that we're going to reach is unbelief and rejection. And he was teaching his disciples that, and I believe that's what the Lord would teach us today that we live in an atmosphere of unbelief out there, and even in the church, and that we need to understand that as part of the reproach of Christ in our lives. If you understand certain things, you see, he had to stand up in the synagogue. Well, who had the best seats in the synagogue? The Pharisees and Sadducees and the priests. He wasn't allowed to sit there. He had to be in the audience, and he had to stand up in order to be recognized, which was a custom. You stood up, you apparently were given scriptures to read. And so, not only that, when he went to the temple in Jerusalem, he could only stay in the outer court. He couldn't go into the altar and to the places where the priests went, even though he had created everything. He couldn't go into the place, the holy place, Holy of Holies. He had to be in the outer court. That was our Jesus. And he's teaching his disciples what it means to be rejected. Let's read the Luke passage in Luke 4. I'm looking at Luke 5 here. Luke 4, obviously. And in Luke 4, he'd just been to the desert and been tested. And then he started his ministry, and he returns with his disciples, and he goes to Nazareth, verse 16. And you know the passage is very familiar. Came to Nazareth, and when he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captive, and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" See here, they didn't try to. And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." And then he goes on and talks about many lepers in Israel when Naaman the leper was. And you know what happened? They all tried to kill him. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And this is the Lord Jesus teaching his disciples a very important part of preaching. Remember when he told them, if you're not accepted, after he sent them out to preach in the synagogues and the towns and the villages, he said to them, "If you're not accepted in a certain place, just shake off the dust of your feet and go." So the fact that he said, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears," the ministry of Jesus, his followers and his people, his apostles, and anyone who believed in Christ, said it's now, it's for now. This ministry that he gives to us is for now. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're told that the kingdom is to come on earth. There was a beautiful passage in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy where God said to Moses, said through God to his people, I want to multiply you so that you may be able to have heaven on earth. It's a beautiful passage. But let's go to this teaching that he's giving and trying to reach his own. But it's obvious that throughout his life, he's felt opposition. He's felt opposition from his own. And in John 7:5, even his brethren didn't believe him. His own brothers and sisters and his relatives didn't believe him. We read where in Mark where they wanted to kind of intervene in his life and try and stop him because he was beside himself. So he was despised and rejected of men. We read that in Isaiah 53. He had no honor in his own country to do great things. He had to stand up to be noticed in the synagogue or to read or to be called upon. He was not allowed to sit in the synagogues as the rabbis and Pharisees and Sadducees sat in special seats. He was only allowed to in the outer court of the Jerusalem temple, never the respected places, the honor, the holy places. He came to serve all, to seek those who were lost. He was about his Father's business, not his own. That's one of the interesting things that, remember in John 10:10, I believe, I came to give you life more abundantly. But we have to recognize the life that he came to give us was not our life. It wasn't my life. It was his life. It was his life that he came to give us, that we might live his life. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's in John 1:11. He was also said to us that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, which were born not of flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. So I don't see any reason why we could not come to the point in our lives where we say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, make that confession, and let people know that we preach the gospel, that we talk to the one who is up in heaven, the Lord Jesus, day by day, and that we can celebrate the resurrection of Christ, not just on one day in Easter, one Sunday, but we should celebrate his resurrection every day. Instead of one day in a year, we should have that Spirit upon him, that is upon him. We should have that same anointing. We should have that same preaching. We should have that same ability to heal bruised, broken hearts. We should have the same ability to set people free from their bondages of sin, because he's given to us the opportunity, and he's told us that we will be in an atmosphere, as he told his disciples, of unbelief. And so that there will be people who won't believe, but we're still to preach the gospel in the power of his anointing, in the resurrection power of Jesus, and by the authority of his resurrection power. He said the time is fulfilled. What this is now, it's the daily thing that we have now. Was Jesus stopped from his ministry because he was persecuted, or he was dishonored by his own family, disrespected by his own church, not believed by people, shunned by his own? No, just because they received him not, didn't stop him from calling whoever, preaching whoever, believe in him. So he's teaching his disciples a lesson on rejection and how to handle it and how to deal with it. And he's teaching us the same. We're still to be with the Spirit of the Lord upon us, whether people accept it or not. So we're out, going out into the world in an atmosphere of unbelief and rejection. And he had this strange crew with him. He didn't have all these Yale graduates or these Harvard. He just had a bunch of fishermen and a tax collector and a few other people. And they weren't a very accepted mob that were with him. And so we have Jesus not being stopped by his ministry and showing his disciples that they would not necessarily get honor everywhere they went and preached the gospel. And yet it still means that we go out with the anointing of the Lord Jesus, and we can claim the anointing and claim to be able to preach the gospel as you do, John. And to them, whoever receives him, he gives power, and power means power. I don't have power over you. We don't have power over the wills of men, but we have power to preach. But Jesus can and does have power over people if they believe him and let him in. The power went off yesterday here at our place, and when the power went off, nothing worked. There's no power. There's nothing. And so it was off for about 20 minutes. It was off area-wide all over. So we need to take a hard look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I walking and talking in the power of Jesus? And dare I say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captive, to allow the very life and resurrection power of Jesus to work in us day by day. And that's the lesson we have for tonight. That's all I have. And I believe it was a hard lesson for the disciples and for the Lord Jesus even to go. And he never went back to Nazareth. Nazareth, you'll notice, he did few miracles there because of unbelief. But in other places where he went to, he had great power and great victories. So, Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the fact that he was broken for us. He was disrespected. He was dishonored. And yet what a powerful ministry he had with those who would listen, with those who would hear, and then being honest with his disciples and teaching them that not everybody is going to believe your message, and that there would be those who would reject them. And yet, Lord, in an amazing way, those disciples went out into the world and preached the gospel in an amazing, powerful way. We thank you for them. We thank you for their teaching. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the fact that he was all points tested as we are. And so we can, with boldness, go out and preach the gospel and teach. And I thank you for John, for his boldness, for his teaching. Thank you for the pastors in Abba Father's Fellowship, for their boldness and for their teaching, and for their times that they've had to stand up to rejection, even from their own in many cases. But Lord, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be part of your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, John.
Amen, Pastor Fred. Amen. That was really, you know, and for the first time, this is really amazing. For the first time, I realized, as you were teaching, that Luke is like, what would I say, chronologically accurate, and Matthew and Mark, what Luke put the Lord's encounter there up front as he came from the baptism of John.
Right.
But Matthew and Mark have put it in different places. So they're putting it's stories together about what the Lord did. You know, Matthew and Mark, but Luke is more like chronological about what happened.
Yeah, and he's more practical to the Gentile mind, I believe, being the doctor that he was. I don't know, but that's what a lot of people say.
Yeah. So the fact that Mark and Luke, Mark and Matthew have this, what was printed in Luke, it has it not really in the order in which it happened. So it's piecing, they're structured different. They're structured different. The gospel.
Yeah, and under the Holy Spirit.
Right, yeah. So, and then it talks about in Luke where they took the Lord to the, like the edge of the cliff there.
They were
that is steep for Nazareth is up on top of looking down on on again, but they—that wasn't like a 5-foot fall. I mean, they had in their hearts they were trying to kill him.
Yeah, and all he wanted to do was preach the gospel to him.
Yeah. And then
so it was a lesson for his disciples, I believe, as well as a lesson to us all. But why is that in the scriptures? He used that time and that moment to. Delineate his ministry and to us to give the ministry that he to his disciples.
Yeah, they were with him the whole time. Peter, James, and John, the main three, and the 12 disciples were with him, but James, Peter, and John were right there close with him at all times. So they saw, you know, up front and close everything. But yeah, you know,
well, Lord bless. Thank
odd.
You.
It's odd. It's odd, Pastor Fred. Like, if someone, no matter what his background was, you know, was praying and people were being healed greatly, you know, and there were all sorts of miracles being done, and he was preaching the way Jesus was preaching. Why that anger? You know, and I know we can give you the spiritual background, but it just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. He was hurting absolutely no one. Everybody that came in contact with him was being greatly blessed. And yet,
well, you have this in a natural way. You have the same thing happening today with Trump and Musk. Only, you know, that's not spiritual at all, but you see the same kind of thing. People are willing to kill him for their ideology.
Yeah.
They hold an ideology. All those people held an ideology, didn't they?
Yep.
And it was a hateful one. Isn't it sad?
Yeah, I mean, these are Jews going to the synagogue and hearing the word every weekend there, every Saturday. And all of that, they're not pagans at this time with the Lord. They weren't outright pagans. And yet, they hated him. They wanted to throw him off this cliff with a 500-foot drop.
But so were the leaders and the,
yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
They had hatred in their heart. These were religious people with hatred in their heart.
Yeah, and it goes to show you he uncovered that. You might not have seen it in their everyday life. You might not have seen that. But when they got close to the Lord, that's when you could see this hatred.
Isn't that amazing?
They had religion. They had religion.
Which leads to death.
Yeah, those religious spirits are nasty. I mean, just look what's going on in India with the Hindus and with the Muslims all over the world. Yeah, so religious action and religious ceremony and all, you know, does nothing for that heart, the wickedness in the heart.
All he was doing was going out, doing good, dealing with bad things and bringing health care to people. That's all he was doing.
Right.
In an amazing way.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And yet it stirred up a lot of hatred.
It wasn't good enough for them. Or they were jealous.
Yeah.
Because they kept questioning, where does he get this from? You know?
Right.
Where does this come from? And they weren't willing to find out where it was coming from.
Right. Right. Well, Pastor Fred, how can we pray for you?
Well, obviously, pray for my throat right now.
Okay. And what else?
And Katie's on chemo right now. She's getting it, trusting the Lord again, still going through her ups and downs, but praising the Lord. It's getting to be, one becomes more familiar with the things that are going on, and every new situation is a new situation, so praise God. Oh, her kidneys are looking much better as a result of the fluid that's coming out of them, so that's one big positive thing. She got that today, that the fact that her kidneys have stopped swelling. They've gone back to normal.
Father, we thank you for this good report, Lord. And we're keeping in prayer for Katie, Lord. We thank you for the good report. And we stand on this good report, Lord, that there'll be another one coming and another one coming and another one coming, Lord.
Amen.
Good reports, Lord. Good reports. And we're putting all prayers together with Pastor Fred and the people of his church, Lord, that Katie is going to come out of this. She's going to come out of this. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for her. And she's just nice. She's just a nice, she's not a girl now. She's a woman. I still think of her as a girl, Fred. You know, but she's a woman. So we're asking your blessings now. We're asking you would comfort her, Lord, in this terrible situation, that you would comfort her, and we ask for more and more good reports in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Now, Lord, we ask for a speedily healing of Pastor Fred, that his throat will clear up, his sinuses will clear up, Lord, this thing, whatever it is, brings a sore throat with it. And he'll come soon, Lord. We're asking real soon. He'll clear up and won't interfere with his preaching. Wednesday and Thursday there. He's yes, but especially Sunday won't interfere with his preaching, either Wednesday, Thursday, or Sunday. How come you had two services, Pastor Fred, Sunday?
The other gentleman went to a retreat for alcoholics and other people with, he does it every year, and it always has great, and he asked me would I preach. So I did both services, one at 9, one at 11.
Oh, okay. All right. I was hoping you'd say the church expanded so much you had to have a second service. That's what I was hoping.
That sounds good. That's a good report.
Yeah, that's an excellent report. Continue to bless Fred's whole family, Lord. Oh, when I called the other day, I spoke to Amy, and it was the first time in, like, I don't know, a year or two or three that I spoke to her.
Amy, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't recognize her voice. I said, who is this?
Oh.
And then she said,
oh, wow.
Because I only speak to you.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but it's funny. Okay. I miss teasing her. Remember, I used to tease her all the time.
That's right. You're right. That's when you used to call on the landline at home. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You had the landline. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, Lord, we thank you. So blessings on all of Fred's family, Lord. A continual great anointing as he speaks on Sunday, and the people will be greatly edified. So we praise you and thank you. Now bless his finances, Lord, all his finances. And we thank you now. for Pastor Fred in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So I have a nice testimony for you, Fred.
Okay.
And everybody.
Okay, let's.
One of the assistant pastors asked me to teach on healing the brokenhearted. Sunday school at My Shalom is after the service, not before it. You know, Sunday school is usually before the service. So anyways, I had a Jeremiah Lampier moment because I went to room there and I hooked up my computer to the screen and all, and no one there. And then about 15 minutes later, they showed up. Well, they kind of, the main body showed up and then they staggered in. So there was about definitely 15 to 20 people there, but that's, you remember Jeremiah Lampier, Fred?
In New York City, when he started the prayer time.
No one showed up.
Right. Yeah.
But then
it soon became.
Right. He had 10,000 a couple weeks later.
Right.
So,
right.
Anyways, yeah. They were really excited. I mean, really, everyone that showed up was really, really excited. And they asked me if I would teach like a seminar about it. And I said, yeah, I sure would. So then the pastor called me today, Pastor Ruth, and she had found out about they wanted me to have a seminar. So she said that they wanted me after I finished Revelation to teach Healing the Brokenhearted there on Wednesdays. So I said, well, we can do both. And at first she wasn't for it. I said, no, it won't be a big strain on me because I could teach it without notes. I mean, I've done it so often. So then we got into details about it and it blew her away. Like I got into details about what's going on in Pakistan in particular and that. And about the resurrection power, the gospel is one gospel in two parts. I said, the problem in America, you're not teaching the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We're not preaching it. Mm-hmm. It was like an explosion went off in her head. And she goes, you're right. You're absolutely right. And this is what you'll teach the church. I said, yes. Oh, what? She said to me, can I, When you are praying with people, could I like sit in on it and listen? Isn't that neat?
Isn't that beautiful? Neat?
But she is.
She wants to be mentored.
Yes. Yes.
That's humbling too for her.
She is all excited. All excited, Fred.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And she said, well, on the Wednesday show, there's a lot of people that call in and watch. She said, I think this could really spread. This could really, she was all excited. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's beautiful. They're trying to get the brokenhearted ministry. That's wonderful.
Yeah, they were hungry they call it yeshiva school, Sunday school. They were really, it went way over the time. It's supposed to be an hour. It was probably an hour and a half with it. Well, it was late to start off with, but anyways, I was really encouraged, really, really encouraged.
That's beautiful. Well, praise God, John. Praise God. That's okay. Starting to catch on in the Western world. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the ones and twos, but now you've got Sunday school and church. And,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So with prayer behind this, yeah. This is like a breakthrough in this area, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
It is. It's like a breakthrough. God. All right, I'll be in touch with you. God bless you.
Okay. The Lord bless
you.
Right. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Then. Bye. All right, we have Sister Sharon here. Oh, and did Paula Jean come? Yeah, she did. The woman never showed up, Paula Jean and Sharon.
Oh, the lady for teaching? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so I emailed her. Yeah. I didn't have her number, but I emailed her. She emailed me back about later, much later, and she was apologizing and she had lost track. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'll see about trying to arrange another time, but that's why I didn't contact you, because she never showed up.
Right. So, but I enjoyed Pastor Fred's message.
Oh yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah, it's one of those messages that you can literally see it going and happening, you know, in your head. You can see it. You can see people, you know, walking around the Colosseum areas and stuff, and you see Jesus walking around, and just everybody that, and people wanting to hear and listen, and just they probably maybe didn't know why they were there, but it was a fine salvation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like a story he was, showing.
You know, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Paula Jean, any comments? Then we have Gigi and Randy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I was talking to you, though.
I'll chime in after
Gigi and Randy.
You were talking to yourself.
Oh, I know. Well, I was talking into the telephone, but it wasn't transmitting.
All right. Gigi and Randy, any comments, questions? All right. Paula Jean, you're up.
Okay. Well, I also was so pleased with the prayer that you prayed, both for him and for Katie, and very, very pleased with the good news about her kidneys, because that is so important. You just need everything doing its part in getting you through the chemo process. And we would just really need to keep them in prayer throughout the week. I'm going to, because, I mean, for Fred, I'm praying that just some good water, what is salt water flushes, might clear that throat up, so far as the discomfort of it. As for the raspiness, that will heal when it heals. But salt water flush can really, not like the standard eating salt, but like sea salt and warm water can really bring about healing of the mucous membranes quickly. So I'm praying that he's doing that, and if not, that the good Lord will guide him to whatever it is that will bring the healing that will go along with God's hand. And because I get the raspy throat. I write tonight, have a little bit of a rasp. And it's always nicer when our body parts work well. And for you too, how is your hand doing?
Same.
Okay, so no resolution.
No, it doesn't interfere with anything really, other than it's constantly numb.
Yeah, you're aware.
It feels it when asleep. It feels like it's asleep. You know, that feeling when you say.
Well, I'm still gonna pray that the good Lord heal whatever's causing that, because how we're supposed to. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what we're here for, too, along with learning, keeping each other in prayer, that the enemy get disappointed because he has such a hard time getting at us. We really need to keep one another in protective, shielded prayer, because we are in a war, and it's a spiritual war. And I just give praise for this group, because it helps a lot. It keeps us focused on Jesus. So, and that's what the teaching tonight did as well. But like doing the storytelling, that's how Jesus taught.
Yes.
So it's very, yeah, it's very harmonious with the Bible and the heart of God. So.
Well, we have a new guest. We have a new guest.
Oh, okay.
It's Danny Boy.
Oh, he wants to hear it. How cute.
Yeah, he came in here and he wants to play. This dog wants to play all day long. So he's in here wanting to play. So I picked him up and I'm holding him here. You can see him on the screen.
Yeah, I couldn't get into Rumble tonight. It showed that it was live, but I couldn't get in and watch it. So that's just my connections. Who knows? But I'm glad everybody else is working.
Yeah, Sister Sharon, do you see Danny Boy?
Oh, I sure do. I think he's adorable. I mean, looking at that collar you got on him, too.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good boy. He really is a good boy.
So, yeah.
All right, you got to get down now. He's gone to sleep. I'm rubbing him. His head is hanging over. Can you see him? His head is hanging over.
Oh, yeah. He's so sweet.
Oh, all you got to do
is... Yes, he is so precious.
All you got to do is pet and, like, rub him a little, and that's it. He should be start snoring any moment now.
Mm.
So, okay, Sister Kathy?
Yeah, I thought it was just wonderful, too. And I found a book that was written in 1898 and by a pastor, and he preached about that they wanted to relegate Jesus back to the carpenter shop. It's like, you stay there. We'll allow you to be there, but nowhere else. And so it was just very, very interesting.
Like I say, it's our nature.
Yeah.
It's man, but it doesn't make sense. That's why there's something. That's why there's Satan in the mix there.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, the man is doing incredible. You name the healing and the miracle that's being done. And yet, try and throw him off the cliff?
Yeah. Well, they'd already killed him in their heart anyway. You know, he was not alive in them. And it's like, we want to get you off the face of the earth.
Yeah. I know. See, the thing is, in a natural sense, it doesn't make sense. But if you understand Satan's influence on us, and it might not have been able to be seen until they came in contact with Jesus.
Right. True.
And then it's like, as long as Peter was with, as long as the disciples were with Jesus, fear really didn't manifest in them. Now, there were sometimes when they feared, they heard the voice of God the Father from heaven there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and that brought some fear in them. But they weren't, they didn't have the spirit of fear like took over when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. Then that they were like lost their minds.
Mm-hmm.
With fear. That didn't manifest as long as they were with Jesus. But when the soldiers arrested him and they were separated, that's when they all deserted the Lord and ran.
You know, there was this in the island, I think it was Fiji, and our military guys were there, and they were these parasites that would get in them from the dampness and the that green stuff, slime and stuff. And they were just calm unless you got x-rayed. And the second x-ray went into those parasites, they manifested. And it was like they just were crazy. And that's kind of like it is with the demons that, you know, until whenever they can be controlled a little bit until they get in the presence of God, and then they go nuts.
Right. Right. That's a very interesting story, Sister Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
It is.
Was it in New Guinea that this happened?
It was somewhere like that. It was somewhere. My mother's, she married after my daddy died later. And this, he was an army guy, and was in, and he was like 72, and he had never had x-rays. And then these things just, they just took on a whole nother dimension.
So, so you know this from personal experience there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm saying others, it happened to, I would assume it did, but.
So those parasites stayed with him all those years?
Yeah, they were dormant or not active or not noticeable. And then the doctor said, man, these things have took on a vengeance. And he didn't live much long, not long after that.
Wow. He died from the parasites?
From them being triggered through the x-rays or wow. MRI or whatever it was.
Wow. Wee. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of preaching material.
It is. It is.
Okay. Well, while we got you here, Sister Kathy, we'll start with you in prayer and then come down the line, okay?
All right. Did you hear if Dove got home all right?
No, I didn't hear that. But Diane, Dave's wife called me, texted me, and then Dave called, and he told me.
All right.
He told me he was calling from New Jerusalem in heaven.
Only in his dreams. He's still going to have to be down here earthbound. That's funny. That is so funny.
Yeah.
And let's see, there was something else I was going to tell you about the news or something, but I can't remember now, so I'll just go ahead. But Lord, thank you so much for today, and I bless Pastor Fred, and I thank you for his teaching. I pray for his throat and his sinus and his bronchial tubes and anything else that's going on. And Lord, I'm just so sad about Katie being under such health concerns and constraints. And I thank you for the improvement with the kidneys. And I thank you that this chemo will do exactly what it's supposed to do. And she will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose. And, Lord, you will work all things together for good. You don't needlessly afflict us, nor do you waste our suffering. So we just pray in Jesus' name for all the people with cancer and trouble and trials and tribulations. We just say thank you that it's going to work for good. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name for America. I thank you for Trump just being a wrecking ball. Lord, he is just wreaking havoc in the chambers of the Democrats. Lord, he is inciting those parasites, and they are really manifesting. So we just pray they would just implode and explode and just cease to exist. And Father, I just thank you that things, I pray for the vote in Wisconsin tomorrow. I pray in Jesus' name that it will go the way it's supposed to, for you to get the glory, Lord. And if the other side wins, Lord, it will take on a whole different dimension, Lord. It'll have a whole different dynamic. So, but thank you. Thank you that you're working to will and do of your good pleasure. Lord, we pray for Israel, Jerusalem. We pray for the people that are just so disheartened, Lord, and thinking the government is betraying the hostages, Lord, when they can't sacrifice the whole nation for the hostages. And I'm thankful they're still alive, a lot of them, but it's just a sad situation. I pray for the families of those soldiers that have been found. And if there was another one that was missing, if there were indeed four instead of three, just we need to know what in the world happened. It was not normal. It was not natural. It was definitely sinister. And I just pray, Lord, for their families and their loved ones, and just help in Jesus' name. Thank you for everyone in chat. Thank you for everyone in Dialpad. Thank you for all the people that are in X and Facebook and Jerry in Canada and Scott and all Bob in Vancouver if he's on the line, and just Ruth in the morning. Just thank you, God. Thank you for all the people. I just bless this prayer line for the ministry they deal with and the blessings they project and give. And I pray for Bishop Reinhardt and those 13 soldiers that died in the line of duty as well in his ministry. Just pray. I pray for the Andaman Islands, Lord, and Sri Lanka, and just all of the places. We pray for Pakistan, and it's bad there too. And of course, Kenya and Nairobi and Nigeria and all the other places. I pray for Larry in the Planned Parenthood ministry, and I pray for Michael and Robin, and I'm thanking you for Dove getting back home safe, and Pastor Ernie, Lord, and all the other people. I'm just thinking there's somebody I'm wanting to pray for and can't think of it, but just thank you that you lead and you guide and you direct. And Lord, we just thank you for your promises that are yes and amen, and you're working all things together for good. And just thank you. I pray for Chaplain John tomorrow in the service that he'll be in the morning. And I just thank you that you are God, and beside you there's no other. And we love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let me... Is Gigi and Randy there? Okay. Last call, Gigi and Randy. Paula Jean, you're next for prayer. Oh, I can't win. Paula Jean, you muted yourself.
I'm here. I muted myself. You know, I shouldn't mute myself, right? But I don't like it when you turn me on and I don't know that I'm on and I clank around. So it's hard to know which way to go.
Okay, I'll announce. Paula Jean, you are now turned on. How's that?
I am now turned on. And it's the Lord that really does that for me too. Father God, I'm just so grateful to you. I do ask that you be with families that are grieving right now. There is so much going on and deaths occurring that weren't anticipated. And I do pray, Father God, that I know Holy Spirit is the comforter, but some of these families may or may not have paid any attention to you. I ask that you comfort them. And I ask that they recognize that they're getting some extra assistance and that it's supernatural, not natural. And I pray, Father God, that those families that don't know you will have people put in their pathway or experiences come forward at this time that they're grieving, that will remind them that it's important for them to reconsider their position about a creator that gave them life and has sustained their life. And if they're not saved, that they seek out the answers to the most important questions, Father God, and that they find your love and your son and someone to guide them in receiving him as their Lord and Savior. We definitely ask that many lives be touched at the time of grieving from the loss of a loved one. And if a pastor or a person hasn't done the reaching out, I pray that your Holy Spirit does. Because, you know, that does get people to you. You know that. Holy Spirit can call us directly to what we need to know, who we need to know, and that there is such an awesome love just waiting for us to discover it and trust you and trust him and trust the Holy Spirit. We are wanting much, much more of the people on this planet to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so I'm just in agreement with the prayers that Chaplain John sets out at the end of meetings, sometimes in the beginning. With regard to the great outpouring, Father God, it's coming time that we really need to have it soon. And how wonderful that would be to time it while our current president is in office. And we are asking definitely for each one of our leaders to, even if it's before the great outpouring, that they receive a close walk with you. Not only salvation, but a close walk. And are looking to you much more frequently than they perhaps have in the past for guidance and answers, so that there'll be unity of spirit as the group progresses in turning our land back to you and cleaning up that which is not of you, and allowing you to use them to bring forth the justice that you would have be brought forth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Paula Jean. And we have Sister Rita here.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Hello.
Okay. I'm going to pray. Okay, Father, I give you thanks for all that you have provided to me. Water, food, clothing, housing. And I thank you more than anything, Father, that you died for me and you loved me when I was not worthy to be loved, Father. And you have given me a life more abundant to live, and that I have, when I die, Father, I have something to look forward to.
Amen.
And that is being with you and your Son for all eternity, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving me life. And, Father, I pray that you will protect and protect Israel. And I pray that the Jews in Israel would turn away from their secular ways and wicked ways, Father, and that they would turn to your Son as their Savior, their Lord, and their God. And I pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. I pray for the IDF, Father, and I ask, Father, for the that these young men and women will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and that they will love you and your Son, Father, before it's too late. And I pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu and his wife, Father. I ask, and his children, I ask, Father, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and that they would love you and your Son. And I pray for that you would guide and direct Netanyahu, Father, in all the ways that he guides and leads Israel. And also, Father, I ask that you would protect him from the evil men and women that wants to do him wrong. And also pray, Father, and hold up Chaplain John to you, that you'll bless him and Nancy. And I pray, Father, that you would guide and direct Chaplain John in all that he teaches and what he writes. And I pray, and I give you thanks, Father, for how you have taken care of Nancy when she fell. And that I ask that you will continue to heal her and get her leg back to normal and bless her. And I can't remember, and bless his children too, Father, Chaplain's darn children. Bless all the brochures that are written and the books, and that you will open, that you would soften the hearts of the people that read Chaplain John's books and brochures, that many souls will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father, and many hearts would be healed. Also, bless Chaplain John's children, Father. And I pray for all the pastors in the Abba Father Fellowship. Bless them and their churches, and also protect those pastors, Father, and also protect the churches, Father. And I pray for Pastor Fred, that you would bless him and his church. And I pray that you will comfort and encourage Katie, Father, and that you would heal her from what is wrong with her, and that you give her strength going through this very trying times that she's going through, Father. And bless Pastor Fred's church. And I pray, Father, that it would be a lighthouse in the community to where the church is located, and that many people will come to the church and get saved, and that broken hearts would be healed. And also, Father, I pray for Larry that goes down to these abortion clinics in Pennsylvania. There's two of them that he goes down to, Father. And Chaplain John, can you give me the name of the towns that Larry goes to these abortion clinics in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it's York City. There's York County and York City. It's York City, Pennsylvania, and Lancaster.
And Lancaster?
Yeah, now both of them have counties and cities. It's Lancaster City and York City.
Okay. I pray for these abortion clinics, Father. Well, I pray for Larry that goes down to these abortion clinics in York City and Lancaster City in Pennsylvania. I pray that you would protect him when he goes down to these abortion clinics, Father. And also, Father, I pray that you would anoint his witness to these ladies down at these clinics. And that I pray also, Father, that the women that are about to go to the clinics, that you would convict their hearts and soften their hearts, Father, and open up their eyes to the sin that they're about to commit. And I pray, Father, for the women that in these two clinics that have already gotten abortions, that you would convict their hearts. Amen. And that these women will turn to you for forgiveness of the sins of the sin that they have committed, and that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and that when they come to the realization of what they have done, that they will find forgiveness in you, Father, and that they will love your Son, and that they will also learn, that they will also forgive themselves for committing this, committing that sin, Father. Give them hearts of flesh, Father, and that you will, that their hearts will be cold-hearted and full of hate. And I pray, Father, that you will protect Larry when he goes down there. You will encourage him and comfort him, and give him the words to say, Father, and anoint the words that he will that he will be witnessing to those women down in those clinics. And I pray for Bishop Reinhardt. I pray for his orphans. I pray that you would heal the little broken hearts. And I pray that they will accept your Son as their Savior, Father, when they come to the knowledge of sin, and that you would encourage their souls, and that you would wrap your arms around them when they are scared and lonely, Father. And Father, you have said in your word that when our father and mother forsake us, you will take us up. And that's what I'm asking, Father, for these poor orphans and Bishop Reinhardt's orphans, that you will take them up. And I pray for Bishop Reinhardt that you will comfort them. I mean, comfort him, encourage him, and comfort, encourage him, and strengthen him, Father. Give him strength, both spiritually and physically. And tonight, Kathy mentioned something about Bishop Reinhardt's happened down there with Bishop Reinhardt. I didn't quite understand. I cannot remember what she said, but I asked that whatever went wrong, that you would make it right now, Father. And Father, I pray for everyone that is on the line tonight, in chat, YouTube, chat, YouTube, and the chat room, and the other one, Father, that I can't remember the other one.
Rumble.
I couldn't remember it. I pray, Father, that you will bless and encourage each and every one of us, Father, and that we will, if everyone that's online tonight, Father, I pray that they will love you more with each passing day. And also, Father, I pray that if anybody has a broken heart that is online, that you would heal that person. For I pray this all, Father, in the glorious and holy name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And
very, very nice. Thank you, Sister Rita. And then I'm going to try Gigi and Randy once again. Okay. And now we go with Brother Charles.
Hey, Tim.
Hello.
Great teaching from Pastor Fred.
Oh, yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. You know, Templin, I think that the, maybe not the Sadducees because they were secular, but the Pharisees, I think, knew it, that Jesus was the Messiah in their hearts, but they, they wanted the tradition. It's just like Tobiah. I mean, there's no difference between the Pharisees and Tobiah.
And it's the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
And Tobiah told me to my face that his job was to defend Judaism. Before the debate, we had lunch, And he was sitting, we were sitting at a table together and we were talking back and forth. And he told me his job is to defend Judaism, right or wrong.
Yes.
His job is to defend Judaism. And I, as a result of that debate I had with him, I know, well, he confessed that Psalm 110 was about Jesus being the Messiah. He confessed it publicly in that auditorium.
Yes, sir.
Then he begged for forgiveness.
Well, I mean, even the demons believe, but they don't have faith.
Right.
So, I'll go ahead and pray, Chaplain, if you want to. Okay, so, Lord, I know that a lot's been said tonight. I just agree with the prayers that have gone up. Lord, you know what we need, what we, and where we need to be pushed, and where we need help. And you know all our petitions and our desires, Lord. I ask for blessings upon everybody in the chat room and that's listening tonight. I mean, such wonderful people. I mean, just what a group, Lord, that you've knitted together. And that they're just prayer warriors and always there for Chaplain John and for each other. And it's just a wonderful thing, Lord. And I just thank you so much for it. I do ask, Lord, sort of selfishly, ask for peace of mind, Lord, and for myself and for everybody that's listening, and freedom from anxiety and stress and worry. Lord, I pray for these elections in Wisconsin and the two special elections in Florida, Lord. I'm just going to say it straight out. Please help the Republicans to win, Lord. The other side is just so evil. They've gone off a cliff, and they're just rabid. So, Lord, please help the Republicans to win in those areas. And please keep Elon Musk and President Trump safe. Prime Minister Netanyahu, please keep him safe. Please give them backbones of steel, Lord, where they stand up, keep standing up to the woke and the evil that's so prevalent. And they're a very loud group, but they can be overcome, Lord. I know that you have given us this great country and the vast majority of people are behind President Trump, and it's a loud minority that we're dealing with. So, Lord, I just, in conclusion, I thank you for everything you've given us. I thank you for all our blessings. And please be with us, Lord, and please never forsake us. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
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 Very, very nice, Charles. Thank you. Wonderful prayer. And we have Michael here. Michael, if you'd like to pray, you're welcome to.
Okay.
And then Sister Sharon, I don't believe you were able to pray yet.
Well, no, I don't think I did. I would love to pray. Love to pray. So, dear Father God, I just want to say thank you for bringing us all here together tonight for our Monday Watch and Pray program. And I'd like to thank you for Pastor Fred for what he was able to talk about, and that Jesus going into the Coliseum area, and you could just see him walking around as Pastor Fred was talking. And I just really enjoyed that a lot. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that we can be together, that we are here with Chaplain John, and we're hearing updates about what's going on around the world and stuff with the pastors and everything. And we just need to keep the pastors over there in prayer, because there was just that horrible, horrible murder and murdering that went on just recently. Where they started 13 or 14 pastors were killed. And we just need to pray for them. We need to pray for their families. And we need to pray for all of Abba Father International. And keep Chaplain John in prayer as he continues daily to get messages prepared to teach us. And it's always a wonderful when he starts up and we can hear his voice, and we know that we are going to learn something good and stuff, or have it refreshed in our minds. I was thinking earlier today about him reteaching the message the other day and stuff, and it always makes me feel good just to rehear things. Even if I don't remember what it was, it pays off. It really does help. And I do thank you for everybody who's here to pray. Thank you for Charles praying and Kathy. And Kathy, you've given her a wonderful memory, dear Father, and she just can really remember things. And that is a rare commodity with most people. And I thank you for that we can listen to her. And a Chaplain John, we know he lays his head back and he closes his eyes. We know we're going to hear a wonderful thing that happened in history, the Bible, out of his life, or who knows what. But I just thank you for that we can come here and enjoy each other's company. We can learn about you more, about you, dear Father God, and we can teach other people about you. We can find out about getting brochures and to be able to pass them out, and just again, just to be with each other as the program goes on. And I'd like to say thank you for my daughter Ariel, who is in Rumble tonight and stuff. It just really makes me feel good that she continues to come to the program and stuff. And I just pray that she'll come in and pray someday real soon when she really got the time. And I just want to say thank you for her and for her brother Bobby, who helps me here every day. I mean, every day he's doing something for me. And I just thank him for that. And I just thank everybody again here in Abba Father who is praying for me. And I know that what will happen with this situation is your will, God. It's not what I want. It's what you have planned ahead. And I just thank you for that. And I just want to say thank you for everybody who's here. And I just can't wait till tomorrow morning. We're going to have prayer again every day during the week, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. And then 7 days a week at nighttime. And I just really enjoy it a lot. And I thank you for that. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because tomorrow I don't stream on Tuesdays now. So Sister Sharon and Sister Kathy will be there. But you got to call in. And you got to call in 717-409-5553. So, yeah, and then Sunday night, Friday night, I'm not there either. You got to call in to prayer. All right, I guess it's my turn to pray. And Danny Boy is hit here, and he wants to play. So I want to pray, and he wants to play. He's got his toy, and you come on now. You go play someplace else. Go ahead. It's too much of it. It's too funny, that dog. Father, I thank you so much for tonight and the team together, Lord, the prayer team we have here. Thank you, Lord. It's not great numbers, although in the archives it does add up to a significant amount of people. But it's those that have faith, and they stand in faith. They believe the word of God. And so without faith, it is impossible to believe God. So with faith, it's small group can be tremendously powerful. So I thank you for that, Lord. I ask, Lord, that we do see, all of us sense that even though there was a great political victory, there is still tremendous evil in the country, Lord. I mean, tremendous evil. These people, I was listening today on the radio about a candidate, a Democrat candidate from Florida. Lord, he was further woke and left than Harrison Waltz, Lord. He was incredible with this guy, the Democrat. He was vile. I mean, vile is a mild word, Lord. And he's running to be a congressman from Florida. Lord, these woke, I'm just going to say woke. Lord, they're peppered throughout the country. They're not in great numbers, but they seem to rise to the top, and they are wicked, Lord, hating you and us. So that's, Lord, we need, for several reasons, but we need a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit to, first of all, win a lot of them to you and weaken them as they serve you rather than the devil. And, Lord, just have the masses, massive on fire for you, Lord, and won't stand for this wokeness. Put it back, Lord, in a cave where it belongs. So we're looking for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that's going to beat back, arrest, tie up this evil, Lord, until we go to be with you, until we go to be with the tribulation period. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, there's so many people out there with depression. So many people with anxiety, Lord, and panic attacks. So many people deeply lonely. So many people rejected. So many people on drugs, Lord, because they're self-medicating. Lord, every one of them is a candidate for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Every single one of them. They could hear forgiveness through you, Lord, and they could hear about hope and your coming and taking us to heaven. And they can respond, Lord. They have that terrible need. They have a terrible need, desperate need, and you fill that. So I believe you're preparing America for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that wildfire, Lord, a huge spiritual wildfire burning through the country, winning multitudes of souls to you, multitudes, and generating tremendous power, Lord. And I pray that this here outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to reach into the Senate, the House of Representatives, Lord, into Trump himself and his office, Lord. I believe it's going to reach into the state capitals, Lord. Governor's offices, Lord. It's going to change the course of the country right up to the rapture, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Great, great, tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's there, Lord. All the pieces are there for it. Just need the move, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to strike with that, that spiritual atomic bomb. You do that in one place, Lord, one preacher, one church, one place, and you hit it with a spiritual nuclear bomb, and then it spreads all over the country and beyond. Thank you. Lord, we repent of all the sin. Lord, all of this sin, it's real, Lord. This sin is, I mean, the unregenerate man loves sin. So, Lord, I'm asking now that you'll break the hold of sin on the country. There'll be righteousness in the schools, righteousness in the halls of government, righteousness in all the governor's offices, the president and his cabinet, righteousness in the House of Representatives, in the Senate. And Lord, I have complete confidence of this because of what you did in this election. I was hesitant before, but I have complete confidence, Lord, that you can do this right up to the rapture, Lord, right up to your coming for us. And then, Lord, I mean, the devil has is 7 years there, but right up to the rapture, because this authority in your name, and we have authority to use your name. And that's what we're doing. The awesome name of Jesus Christ. We're calling on a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit now in the name of Jesus, that he might be glorified by sinners converting to him as their Lord and Savior. Tremendous, Lord. He'd be greatly glorified by it. And we want to be a part of it, Lord. So thank you, Lord. What an exciting time to live, Lord. On one end, we can see all the wars kind of, they're like running in place right now. The wars with Ukraine and Russia. I don't think Ukraine is going to, they're going to just fight to the finish, Lord. The way China is acting, the Middle East, Lord. And so there, these wars could break out, Lord, at any time. But we want the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit to break out. And we want to see it in Israel. A mighty move, Lord, sweeping through Israel, winning multitudes of souls to you. Running through the Muslims, Lord, all these Muslim nations. A tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in Pakistan, in Kenya, Lord, all of East Africa, Lord, plundering Islam for you, Lord. Thank you. We can't thank you enough, Lord. And Lord, we are praying for Israel, Israel's protection. Lord, we're praying that we stand on that everlasting covenant you made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All these plans of the wicked, Lord, the New World Order, the UN, the World Economic Forum, Lord, none of them can sidetrack your prophetic plan. You can't be moved away from protecting Israel. Israel's not going to be destroyed. It's going to survive. It's going to be there at the second coming of your son. So thank you. What an exciting time it is to live, Lord. For you. Lord, we don't want to miss any of it, Lord. And we want to be a big part of it through winning souls, Lord. So thank you, man. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, it looks like Sister Kathy abandoned us. All right. Paula Jean, if you would pray for me, for Wednesday night, teaching at my Shalom on Revelation. And it's real important. It's about the Lord's coming, his second coming. So would you pray for me that there be a great anointing? You're unleashed, Paula Jean.
So yes, you can hear me. And Father God, you heard Chaplain John there too. He said this Wednesday night is really important. Because he's teaching on Revelation and he wants his words anointed. And Father God, I know that you will be with him because we're two or more gathered together in your name and there will be a big group. And I do pray, you know what's going on in Chaplain John's heart right now about Wednesday night. And you know how important it is to him that the people hear and understand what he's presenting so that if there are any that haven't yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior, there will be a big chance that they might want to do it right then and there on the spot. And what a joy that would be. Father God, I do pray that you guide him in his preparation as well, and that you oversee his time priorities so that his schedule makes room for him to go forward Wednesday night with confidence that he's prepared and that he didn't do it alone, that he did it with you. And so he'll know that the words that are going to come forth will present the revelation message in the most powerful way that it can be presented for the group that's going to be there. He wants to bring you glory, and he wants to bring people salvation if they don't already have it. And I imagine he would also desire, but he, I don't know if I've heard this, but in my heart is a desire, and I trust his, hope that his agrees with me, that everybody that's there is touched by the message, even if they're walking closely with you, because we want to be enlivened, Father God, to reach out to others, to share the message, to share brochures, and to share your light and your love with those that don't know you in such a way that they ask questions. And I pray, Father God, that all that's in Chaplain John's heart and mine, as well as the pastor who asked him to do this service, be bountifully met, and that there will be clear fruit from the time that he puts in between now and then with you when the service is over. I pray there will be some people that will actually take home newfound understanding to those in their family and that they love. And because your Holy Spirit is so powerful, it can break any concerns about what people are going to think and bring people out into sharing more bountifully about your son and his, the reason why he came, the reason why you allowed him to come and give his life. It's because of your almighty love. We pray that you be rewarded. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's see what time. Well, we're pretty close to the end here. So, because I really feel led to keep praying that prayer, you know, the prayer, the covenant prayer. So we'll close with that, and hang on here.
Oh, I do want to say that your pup is beautiful, and his coat is just so silky, and he does like to cuddle with you.
Oh, he does. Oh, he is a baby. He is a big, literal baby. I hold him just like a baby, and I rub his chest, and he falls asleep, and he'll snore. You'll hear him snoring.
Yeah.
He is a real big, and he really loves us. And that dog is so full of love. He's something. All right, let me go over and get the prayer covenant, and here we go. Almost here we go. And because I feel the Lord wants us to pray this prayer covenant more. So cry unto the Lord prayer covenant.
Good.
Abba Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance for our sins and the sins of our nation. We cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize the time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humble before you with the manifest sins of our nations, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we ask for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win untold numbers of souls to the Lord Jesus and to hold back the terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty to them that are bruised. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear. Amen. And fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. Amen, Lord. Take all unbelief out of us and have us grow mighty in faith, because that pleases you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we are asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We beseech you for another great outpouring of your Spirit upon your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba Father, we love you as little children. Amen. And believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. To protect us from the wicked one and from the love of the world, we come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We are growing close to you for protection and asking that you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage so the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless everybody. Won't see you tomorrow morning, but tomorrow night we have Bible teaching. It'll be on the second coming of Jesus Christ, anchored in the book of Revelation. So God bless you now.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send the fire.
Hear our cry.
Send the fire.
Oh, and make us all fit